Backseat Box Office, episode number 121, for the weekend of January 11th through January 13th, 2013. Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Jeff.
And this is Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Welcome, everybody. How are you doing, Jeff?
I am doing good. So, since you weren't on last week, it's been 2 weeks. Have you seen any movies?
I have not. I have. I saw Life of Pi last weekend. I wanted to see it before it left the theaters. I did see Life of Pi. I did not. Now, I do have the book. Technically, I was supposed to have had the book read in December for my local book club, but I ended up not going to that one, so I didn't read the book, and I'm really glad I didn't. Do you know the story, or have you seen Life of Pi?
No, I haven't heard of either.
Do you remember the previews for it and everything?
I remember a tiger and a boat.
Richard Parker is the tiger, mm-hmm. and the Indian boy on the boat who is awash at sea, adrift at sea. There's a bit of a twist ending, which I didn't know about, and I'm really glad I didn't know about. My friend that I went to the movie with had read the book years ago, and she knew of this little... It's not really so much of a twist, it's...
A reveal?
It's a reveal, kind of like the I See Dead People. That's not, to me, not so much a twist ending, but it's a... Oh, it's one of those. And The Life of Pi has one of those endings, which, and I had an argument with my friend, I didn't realize it until they actually put it right there in front of me.
Interesting.
Now, considering it is a book, it's probably okay for me to talk about this, and it's in, I don't even know what, it's not even in the top 12 anymore. So yeah, I can talk about this briefly. Let's see if I can Reader's Digest this puppy. Indian family, they own a zoo, but the zoo is not doing too well, so the father decides that he doesn't own the zoo, but he owns the animals. So he's selling the animals, and they're moving the family to Canada to start again. And they're going across on this Chinese freighter or some such thing. And all the animals are, you know, in their different cages and whatnot in the belly of the ship. There's a storm, and ship goes down, and their son Pi is able to he's pretty much the only survivor on a little raft, and he finds that also in the raft, well, not the raft, in the little boat, there's a zebra, a hyena, and he later finds out a tiger, and then he ends up picking up an orangutan who is floating on a bunch of bananas. Different things happen. The zebra is injured from the get-go because he kind of freaks out and breaks his leg. The hyena is a hyena, and he's trying to kill and eat everything. The orangutan just kind of wants to keep to himself, but gets, you know, a little excited, and one by one, these animals die for different reasons. And then he's left with Richard Parker, the tiger. And he is adrift. He puts little hash marks on the side of the boat, and I believe over 2 months goes by, and he learns to live. He makes a little raft and ties it to the boat so that he stays there and the tiger stays in the boat so he won't kill him. And it's kind of about the will to survive. And as Pi is a boy, he goes through learning about different religions, trying to find himself, trying to find what kind of gods there are, trying to find out what his belief is. They don't get too heavily into that, which I'm fine with. I liked the way they handled it. He ends up, after learning how to live with this tiger, catching fish, doing all sorts of things, he ends up coming aground in some part of Mexico, and this emaciated tiger goes onto land and kind of disappears in the jungle. And he's heartbroken because Richard Parker never kind of turns around and gives him that last look. Because he's kind of his only friend and his best friend at this point, and he never said goodbye. And So he's in the hospital recuperating, and the owners of the Chinese shipping company go to see him, talk to him to try and figure out, you know, you were the only survivor. What happened? Why did the ship go under? There was a big storm and stuff. So he tells the story about the tiger and the zebra and the hyena and the orangutan, and they're just looking at him, and they're saying that no one is going to, what is, that's ridiculous. That could not have happened. No one's going to believe that story. We can't tell our executives that. So then he says, fine, if you want a different story, I'll, you know, this is the different story. My mother and I were on the raft along with this one, this young Chinese man who was a Buddhist. He broke his leg. He was also on the ship with us, as was this French cook who was an asshole. And after a while, you know, the Chinese Buddhist with the broken leg wasn't getting any better, so the French cook killed him. And he used his body for bait to catch fish. And my mother was screaming at the French cook, and how could you do this? And they would, you know, and then he had a fight, and just, he goes on and on, and he tells all this story. Now, all I'm thinking of is, how dare these people make this boy change his story? Because I was perfectly fine believing in a tiger named Richard Parker. Well, the tiger really was named Richard Parker. So he's going on telling the story, and then at the end you realize, they kind of spell it out to you, that the zebra was the young Chinese Buddhist who had broke his leg. The hyena was the jerk French chef, and the orangutan was his mother. And those things really did happen. And he is the tiger. So he was alone on the boat. He wasn't with a tiger. But this was what he had to create in his mind to be able to cope, to survive what he had just been through.
Hmm.
Now, I didn't get it. Not that I didn't. I just was kind of, I wasn't trying to pay attention to and say, oh, that's right, the zebra broke his leg and the Chinese Buddhist broke his leg. I was just kind of getting into the story. And I do that sometimes, and I miss things that are blatant.
Right.
I don't care.
Same here.
I thought, a lovely story. Very emotional at times with the tiger. Mm-hmm. There was one scene where he thought he was going to die, and the tiger as well. So he, you know, went and sat back in the boat, and the tiger was emaciated. And the tiger was so weak, nothing, he wasn't going to do anything anyway. And he put the tiger's head on his lap, and he just sat there and basically waiting for the both of them to die. And I, you know, tears, because give me a sick animal, and except for cockroaches. But give me a sick animal, and I'm a mess. Yeah. But it was a lovely movie. I really liked it. And now I do want to read the book. I'm told it's you know, what was in the book, they did an excellent job of covering it in the movie. And we did not see the 3D version. We saw the regular version. You could tell watching the movie what was supposed to be 3D would have made for some pretty stuff, but I was perfectly fine in seeing it on a regular D, whatever they call it, 2D.
Yeah, 2D.
I do kind of want to go to the movies this weekend, but yeah. I don't know. I've wanted to see Gangster Squad for quite a while, and we'll discuss that in a little bit, but I'm not really sure. But I have rambled quite enough. Let me at least get to how the movies did this weekend. You know, say something. You're a little quiet to me.
Oh, I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, no, that's better. I just didn't know if it was something. You're fine. Okay, so last week, Texas Chainsaw 3D opened at number one, grossing $21.7 million. Django Unchained came in at number two with $20 million. The Hobbit at number three with $17.5 million. Les Miserables came in at four with $16 million. And Parental Guidance came in fifth with $9.7 million. Now, just to touch on a couple more once we start talking about what some of us picked, Jack Reacher came in sixth, and Promised Land came in tenth. I was so not expecting that, as you'll find out in a minute.
Yeah, that was surprising, you know, because Promised Land, directed by Gus Van Sant, Matt Damon.
Yeah. Starring Matt Damon, Jim Kaczyn, Jim Krasinski? Am I just making that name up? John Krasinski.
There we go.
I know, I'm close. I just can't think of what it is.
I don't know where that came from, but it sounds familiar.
I do that sometimes. I'll just keep saying something that sounds similar, and at some point it'll pop in my head.
Was that Reverend Jim from Taxi?
You know, you were talking about that last week, and I missed the beginning of it. What were you talking about that had to do with Christopher Lloyd?
Well, we were talking Star Trek III.
Ah.
And see, when I was a lot younger, I watched Taxi, and then...
Reverend Jim Ignatowski.
As a Klingon.
And you know what? He is always Reverend Jim to me.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. It's been long enough that I kind of think of him as Doc Brown now from Back to the Future.
I still start with Reverend Jim.
Yeah.
It's still where I start, and it's still where I love, I mean, as much as I love the Back to the Future movies, I love him a little more as Reverend Jim. Okay. Now, as far as the movie pickings, a few people did really well. Most of us, fair to middling, to crappy. But you, of us three hosts, you did the best, Jeff.
Why did I listen to Scott?
Why does anybody listen to Scott? I don't know.
Scott was all about, Chainsaw. If anyone puts it in their top five, we'll take it out for you. We don't. It's gonna go.
I know.
All. And I was conservative at four, and I don't know how it came in at number one.
And I been there last week, I don't know if I would have argued that point with him, or if I would have given in like I kind of did anyway, because I was kind of thinking the same thing as well. But I generally have if it's a scary movie or a horror movie, people are going to want to see it regardless of the quality, and I usually am fairly close with that assumption, but I also put it at fourth.
Okay, so I think I did the best of the hosts.
Mm-hmm.
So I had The Les Mis at one, The Hobbit at two, Django Unchained at three, Texas Chainsaw 3D at four, and then Parental Guidance at five. So, Les Mis came in at four, so I lost a whopping 6 points just off of that. I lost 3 points for Texas coming in at one, even though I thought it was going to come in at four. I lost a point, or 2 points, because I flipped Hobbit and Django. They came in at Django at two, Hobbit at three. And then the only movie I got right, Parental Guidance, which I think I'm more ashamed of than proud of, but
go ahead.
No, I said that was my 14. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, of the three of us, and Scott's not even here to go over his picks, of the three of us, your Parental Guidance being correct is the only thing any of us got right. So more kudos to you. I also did not put Texas Chainsaw in at first. I should have known better. I put Django first. At least that wasn't as far off. I lost 2 points off that. I had The Hobbit in second and Les Mis at third, and they were actually third and fourth, so I lost a point on each. I lost 3 points on Texas Chainsaw, putting that in fourth. And what also kicked me was I put Promised Land in at fifth, and am still surprised that it came in at 10th. I still don't get that. I don't know. I'm a bit baffled, because I really thought when I put it at fifth, maybe it would be fifth, sixth, or seventh. I was okay with that little window. Wasn't expecting 10th.
Well, it was on 1,676 theaters.
Yeah, that's true.
That's less than a lot of the theaters that came in around it. I mean, Lincoln at 1901, Guilt Trip at 2312.
Let's see, what was the average? Average, it was 2,416,
yeah.
Average, which, if you look at all the other averages, only would have pushed it up a notch, really.
You'd probably have to say that's a mediocre average.
Yeah. Yeah. But I ended up with 13 points. And what's funny, on the leaderboard, Tony ended up dropping off this week because he's gone 5 weeks without picks. So when that happens, most other people will jump up a notch. And he was in, I believe he was in fourth. So that would mean a lot of people jump up a notch. And almost everyone did except me.
Oh.
I didn't drop into the red. I remained in eighth place where I was before. I remained where I was the week before, but it's kind of a bit of a bummer.
Well, look at it this way about Promised Land. The percent change from last week, it was the highest of all the movies, 2,228%.
This is true. Of course, it had to gain 1,651 theaters to do that, but
yeah, well,
you know what? You take it where you can get it.
Yeah,
that's what she said.
Yeah. So now let's, I guess we can talk about our art house picks.
Oh, figures, and I closed my spreadsheet.
Okay, so I had Zero Dark Thirty, and it ended up, as far as average, coming in at number one with $44,933. I believe Elena had 56 up.
Yes.
That came in at number two at $22,088. And then Scott had, I just zoned on the name.
A Dark Truth.
Dark Truth. That made a whopping $630 on one screen.
Which I believe you currently have the lead of everybody with $194,638. Oh, Father Beast also had Zero Dark Thirty, so he gets that 44. Oh, no. Did he have Zero Dark Thirty or a Dark Truth? Shame on me. Hold on a second. I don't want to mess up his pick. I did that once before. He had a Dark Truth.
Oh. Okay.
Which means he gets the 631 added to his total. And Scott is in second place with $159,216. And I'm in third with $109,190.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll drop back down once I... picking regular movies instead of Dark Thirty.
Everyone needs to pick at least one surefire, just to make yourself feel better, I think. Now,
okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say this weekend we have two new movies and one expanded movie.
Okay, so of the three, the first one is Gangster Squad. And here's a description for Gangster Squad. Los Angeles, 1949. Ruthless Brooklyn-born mob king Mickey Cohen, played by Sean Penn, runs the show in this town, reaping the ill-gotten gains from the drugs, the guns, the prostitutes, and, if he has his way, every wire bet placed west of Chicago. And he does it all the protection of not only with his own paid goons, but also the police and the politicians who are under his control. It's enough to intimidate even the bravest street-hardened cop, except perhaps for the small secret crew of LAPD outsiders led by Sergeant John O'Mara, Josh Brolin, and Jerry Wooters, Ryan Gosling, who come together to try to tear Cohen's world apart. Rated R, hour 50 minutes. Rotten Tomatoes has it at 34%. What do you think about this, Lena?
I'm kind of surprised by that. Of the audience, the 56,520 in the user rating, 99% want to see it. I'm surprised the tomato meter is at 35%. The previews look... they don't look bad to me. I'd like to see it. I'm looking over here.
Yeah, I'm kind of lukewarm. This might be a wait for video for me.
Director Ruben Fleischer leans hard on the violence card, but with little return in the way of excitement and at the expense of character and story. Slick, sick, self-consciously stylish, and defiantly shallow. Golly. Gangster Squad is one of those movies you can't talk about without invoking other, often better movies. Apart from the gore, and there's plenty, this is basically L.A. Confidential without the script. Oh, that's cold.
Yeah.
And this is actually one of the good reviews. Not the best mob film, but some will like it. Phew! That's just... that is saying everything.
Yeah. All right, so how about we jump to the next movie?
Next movie is... this one is... one of the expanded release movies. It is Zero Dark Thirty. For over a decade, an elite team of intelligence and military operatives working in secret across the globe devoted themselves to a single goal, to find and eliminate Osama bin Laden. Zero Dark Thirty reunites the Oscar-winning team of director-producer Kathryn Bigelow and writer-producer Mark Boal of The Hurt Locker for the story of history's greatest manhunt for the world's most dangerous man. And this has a rating of 95%.
Yeah, I definitely want to go see this.
Initially, I was, I didn't really have any problem with it, but I didn't think it was kind of a, you know, I'll see it eventually. But the closer it gets, and the more previews I see, I think I kind of do want to see it. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, I almost thought this was like 24, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But even though I don't know, I haven't seen any of the actors that have been in this. I mean, I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes right now, and the only guy I can recognize is...
I know, that is weird.
Harold Perrineau.
Now, I...
Lost, but other than that...
I believe, at least I thought I could be wrong. Oh, Kyle Chandler is in it.
Oh, yes.
Who is Jason Clarke? No, I know he's Australian. He was Lawless, The Chicago Code, Brotherhood, Public Enemies, Stingers, a lot of things I haven't seen. Home and Away, Farscape.
Yeah, I don't, seen any of those.
Yeah, so I guess Harold Perrineau really is, and Kyle Chandler, they're the only people I really know as I skim through this list.
Yeah, Kyle Chandler from, Friday Night Lights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the third movie coming to the theaters this weekend, a little of a lighter movie, A Haunted House. In an outrageous send-up of the Paranormal Activity movies, The Devil Inside, and other found footage movies, A Haunted House features young couple Malcolm, Marlon Wayans, and Keisha, Essence Atkins, who have just moved into their dream house. As they settle in, they quickly find they're not alone. But it's not the house that's haunted. It's Malcolm's girlfriend, who is possessed by a demon. Malcolm hires everyone from a priest to modern-day Ghostbusters to rid her of this unwelcome intruder, determined not to let the evil spirit ruin his relationship, or more importantly, his sex life. This is rated R, hour and 26 minutes. No score yet from the tomato meter.
Yeah.
Also starring Cedric the Entertainer, Nick Swardson, David Kuchner, or
Kuchner? I think it's Koechner.
Koechner.
Afion Crockett. Okay. Nick Swardson. Although, right. I don't know if I'd pay movie money to see this.
Yeah.
This is something for cable or Redbox or something. For me.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a video, too.
Yeah.
Okay, and those are the three wide-release movies. I guess we shall move now to the picks of the hosts.
And you get to go first.
I get to go first. All right. Well, I think I have to put Zero Dark Thirty number one because it's been good to me. Inflating my art house score. So it's time for a little... I'm going to show my appreciation a little bit. So I'm going to put Zero Dark Thirty at one. I'm going to put Gangster Squad at two. I'm going to put A Haunted House at 3. I'm going to put Django at 4, even though Django could do a little better because I think it's on the up trend right now.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be Les Miserables, but I was grossly mistaken. and then I'm going to put The Hobbit at 5. And on to another dilemma, my art house pick. Now, looking at the art house picks, the art house movies that are coming out this weekend,
mm-hmm.
there are three really good movies that I am stuck between.
I actually didn't look at them all because I immediately knew what I wanted, because I go with why I'm in third place. I go with the what do I want to see pick.
Right. Well,
I should go by what it's kind of like, you know, what do I think will be the best over the weekend?
Well, the first one is Struck by Lightning, which stars Chris Colfer, who is Kurt from Glee.
Ah.
As Sarah Hyland from Modern Family. And Christina Hendricks from Mad Men. And there's some pretty good buzz around. It's supposed to be pretty good. The second of the three that I'm stuck between is a documentary about Chinese journalism, high tech, low life, about Chinese residents that have become bloggers just because the normal news is so heavily censored. And then the issues that they're running into in their own country, reporting on the news that, is important to the Chinese people. But I think I'm going to go the third one just on name value. Quartet, directed by Dustin Hoffman and starring Maggie Smith, Billy Connolly, and Michael Gambon. Two of those three were in the Harry Potter movies. That's how I know those two. And Billy Connolly, if you've ever heard him, I don't think
I
I
love him.
not laughed. I think he voiced the dad in Brave.
Yes.
And I have a coworker that anytime that we talk about Billy Connolly, she can't not well up because she just loves that guy.
He's just I'm a big fan of his.
So I'm going to go with Quartet, see what happens.
Okay then. My picks. I also have Zero Dark Thirty at number one. I initially, for quite a while, was thinking I was going to put Gangster Squad first, but the more that has come up with Zero Dark Thirty, it seems the, I say this and then watch it bite me now, it seems the obvious choice. Gangster Squad at number two. I am going to put Django at three. I was looking at the dailies, like I'm trying to figure out how to work all this, and looking at the percentages up and down every day, and it looks like that I think can hold on. I have a haunted house at four because I don't think it'll, I think it'll be okay. I don't think it'll be enough maybe to overtake Django. Maybe it'll be close. And I have Les Mis in fourth. There's still a lot of talk about it. Some people, and I'm hearing the either I really liked it or I really didn't like it, but there's still a lot of talk. I think that might get a few more people to go in to see it, to see if the talk is,
That movie's dead to me after
it's
last as far as picking it. I might have to go see it this weekend, but it's not going to my top five unless it pulls a Skyfall where it goes to four and then it goes to number one the next week.
That was funny. My art house pick, Quartet. I want to see it. Gonna have to wait a while, I'm sure. The other person in the movie who I'm also a fan of is Pauline Collins. I don't know if you ever saw Shirley Valentine.
No.
Okay. She was in the. I adore Maggie Smith. Love, 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 love Maggie Smith. I love Billy Connolly. I'm a big fan of Pauline Collins.
Do you watch Downton Abbey?
It's in my queue. I haven't seen it yet, but I did recently watch. I watched a clip with all of the Maggie Smith quips.
Yeah, apparently she's awesome in
I know. After I saw that, I was like, I need to get up and start watching this. I'm up to episode 8 of Firefly, so I need to get through those first.
Okay,
So
so
Janestown, I believe. No, that was not the last one I saw.
Crash or
Out of gas. Out of gas.
oh my God. Okay.
That
You
was the
need
last one I just saw.
Yeah. You've watched Out of Gas?
Yes, because episodes 7 and 8 were Janestown and Out of Gas. So,
Cool.
yeah, it's a fun show. I wish I'd watched it 10 years ago, and I kind of think I know why I didn't. I know that I was. It was the first year that I was in Florida, and my friend and I, we were roommates at the time. We only had but the one TV. And after a while, we had two TVs, and I was kind of getting a little sick of spending all my time with her. So I think whatever she would watch, I would just say, yeah, I'm not watching that, and I would go. And I know she watched Firefly, so
Oh man.
I just couldn't stand sitting in there anymore.
Yeah, well, I can I'm fine with it.
Thank you. But I am enjoying it very much.
Good.
And the other thing, do you ever watch The Graham Norton Show on BBC America?
No, I do not.
Okay. Last week, actually, two of his guests were Dustin Hoffman and Billy Connolly. And they talked about the movie, and it just looked so good. And I didn't know it was coming out this week, so as soon as I saw it on the list, I was like, yeah, there's my art house pick.
Yeah.
I definitely want to see that.
Yeah, so here's hoping it has a good weekend.
I hope so, too. Oh, and just, I was going to mention this earlier as a side note for anyone who's listening. If I, in fact, butchered my description of Life of Pi, keep it to yourself. Because I might be known to not quite describe movies the right way, or leave things out, or maybe mix things up. Let's just accept it and move on, because I'd be very embarrassed if everyone starts commenting that I screwed up Life of Pi.
Well, the good news is they're listening.
That's true. So thank you for listening.
Okay, so I don't know if you saw that the Oscar nominations came out this morning.
I did. I have the window pulled up right now. I was sleeping on and off, so I didn't watch them. I'd see a tweet every so often with but I do want to see, where is it? I want to see Beasts of the Southern Wild, because I'm noticing it's everywhere.
Okay, so I don't know where this movie came from.
Neither do I. Never heard of it before today.
I guess for last year, for 2012, it did enough money to land it into the 160 range.
Okay.
Here, so it's way down there. I don't know where this movie come from, if it's got a shot. Who knows? But a couple things that stuck out to me was, I believe that the Silver Linings Playbook has a nominee for each acting category. Actor, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress. I don't think I've seen that in a while.
Hmm. Director.
Yeah, and director. Well, you know, it's...
Yeah.
You might have gotten nominated just on name value, but...
This is true.
But the things that made me happy, Wreck-It Ralph was nominated for Best Animated.
Oh, very cool. I didn't see those nominations.
And,
so was Brave. Ugh.
Well, Pixar.
What?
Yeah. Pixar. Yeah. It's got to be nominated. So is Wreck-It Ralph. But the other thing is that Avengers at least got one nomination for visual effects.
That's cool. Anything you were not happy with?
I was not happy that there wasn't at least one for Looper anywhere.
Still maybe, haven't seen that.
Maybe original screenplay. And I also find it interesting that Tarantino got nominated for Best Original Screenplay, even though Django's based on the, you know, basically a story of a movie that's been remade at least twice.
Hmm.
So who knows what's going on with the Academy. So there's been, you know, a couple of movies that, you know, we've talked about on this show. I'm probably going to have, or one of our art house picks, the one with Helen Hunt. I can't remember what it is.
Oh,
The Sessions.
Yes.
I think she got nominated for acting.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Just not a fan. Not a fan. If you're listening, Helen, bully for us, but yeah, not a fan.
Oh, okay. Well.
So if she's listening, that ends tonight, I bet.
Yeah. So, I just, it was an indie movie. Didn't really, you know, wasn't a critical success. Or success. It was a critical success, I think. But anyways.
Just kind of looking through this, I will repeat what a lot of people are saying. I'm not too thrilled that Ben Affleck was not nominated for directing Argo, because I think it was a stupendous movie. Did you see Argo?
I haven't gotten to see Argo yet.
So good. I know some people have said that it could, you know, possibly because he has been hyped so much, and the Academy doesn't like to hear that kind of stuff. They, you know, if someone is hyped that much, it's almost like, oh, yeah, well, that's why I won't pick you.
And I also have one other news item before we end here.
Okay.
Apparently there's a new Riff Trax out.
Which one?
The Avengers.
Oh, that's right.
There's a trailer on their website, and I was laughing through the whole thing.
I haven't watched it yet.
So that will be purchased very soon.
I've actually not gone through and purchased their Riff Trax yet.
This will be my first Riff Trax, even though I've heard of the guys and,
have you not seen Mystery Science Theater before or?
No, I'm familiar with who they are.
Okay.
Because I've watched Mystery Science Theater before.
Good man.
And, they've hit some podcasts that I listen to.
Oh yeah.
They were down at Comic-Con.
Oh yeah. Hmm.
They did a live audience Q&A.
I actually went to their second and final convention in Minneapolis. They only had but the two.
I think they're doing a Riff Trax live, but I don't know how close it is to me.
They're redo. Is it Manos, the Hands of Fate again?
Yes.
If you can go. Because they did that a couple months ago, so I'm not sure if they're doing... Is it going to be another live one, or is it going to be a repeat of the one they did a couple months ago? Like it matters. Brilliant.
Sure.
It's still going to be brilliant.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, the last one I did see was Manos, because it was... All I can remember, it was a Thursday night, and I was going to have to be late for Backseat Book Club because I was going to be there.
Mm.
And it was agreed that... If Elena's going to be late for that reason, we're all cool with that. But yeah, if it's not too far from you, definitely go. Highly recommend them as a group.
And that's all I have, unless you have something else.
I don't think I have anything else. Because the only thing I was thinking that we would talk about would be some of the Oscar picks. And looking and going, oh, there are so many things I haven't seen. Although there was one year that I actually literally saw nothing that was nominated. Which, one of these years, I have vowed to see everything that has a major nomination. I'm trying to think of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, of the 9 movies nominated. I've seen 3.
So what of the 3, what's your pick? Lincoln?
The 3 that I've seen are Argo, Life of Pi, and Lincoln. Of those 3, I would go with Lincoln. I think they did a fantastic job. Best performance by an actor. Lots of talk that it's going to end up being Joaquin Phoenix, but I haven't seen The Master, so I cannot say. But I know it's at Redbox, so I think this weekend I might, if I can find it, if it's around, I don't know if Oscar buzz is going to make it disappear from Redbox and be scooped up. I think I do want to try and see Beasts of the Southern Wild because it has Best Picture and Best Performance by an Actress for that little girl, and I'm not even going to try and say her name. I will butcher it beyond recognition, and that will make me sad. Her last name is Wallace. That's all I can say. Let's see. Was there? I know I've seen Best Achievement in Directing. I've seen it a few other places. Best Writing, Screenplay Based on Material, blah, blah, blah. It looks like an interesting little movie, and I think I'd like to see that. So maybe this weekend I might actually catch that one.
Yeah, we're going to have babysitting Saturday night, but I don't know if there's anything that me and the wife want to go see. I mean, just because...
different tastes in movies?
Well, the movies that I want to see are going to... She's probably going to get motion sick, and I don't think I can take her to Django, which is the movie I'll see next.
Okay. Trying to see what else we have out. Does she not want to see? Oh, you didn't want to see Gangster Squad. Will Zero Dark Thirty make her sick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, from what I've heard from other people, Searching for Sugar Man is an excellent documentary. That was nominated for a documentary feature. So I wonder if that'll win.
Was that one of your picks once?
I don't think so. Might be.
I'm looking at it on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, and for, I don't know if this is the first time, but the host of the Oscars, Seth MacFarlane, will actually be nominated for an award.
For Ted?
Mm-hmm. for Everybody Needs a Best Friend.
Oh my gosh.
Nominated for Best Original Song.
Oh, that is very cool.
Music by Walter Murphy, lyric by Seth MacFarlane.
I'm curious as to how he'll do as a host.
Yeah.
I don't know what I think about that yet.
Yeah, it just depends on how acerbic, I guess, would be the word. I mean, does he take a page out of the Ricky Gervais playbook? I don't know if that'll play for the Oscars. We'll see. We'll see how much guts he has.
This is true. Oh, but yeah. So is Skyfall is also nominated for Best Song.
Yeah, that's probably, well, I've...
And Les Mis.
Yeah.
You almost kind of want to think that's going to, might win by default. I think that's about all I've got as well.
Okay, cool.
Oh, thanks for coming in a little early for this.
Yeah, no problem.
I need extra sleep tonight.
No problem.
And have a great weekend. Have a good weekend, everyone else.
Yes, have a safe week. Maybe head to the theater this weekend, see something good.
See Zero Dark Thirty to keep it in first place so none of us have to lose any big points. Please. And we will see you all next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.